CNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Slow down, you move too fast.
Good morning, Free Fire listeners. This is Positively Healthy Show, and I'm Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic care for the entire family, located here in downtown Reading. You can go to my website, healthwisedoc.com, for more information about my practice and other health information. I've been practicing here for about 8 years and living here in the beautiful North State for about 10 years. Anyway, it is a beautiful day today, and I'm so thankful to be here. It's so pretty, huh, Rachel?
It's gorgeous out. Yes. It's everyone keeps saying it's so hot, but I keep reminding them I'm a farmer and I keep an eye on the temperatures, and it's pretty nice this year. It's not 109 and 110.
Exactly. I saw that. What is it going to be, like 99 today or something?
I think we're going to go up to 103 today, and then by tomorrow we'll be down in the just in the cool hundreds.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. I'm, you know, like I said, I've been here for 10 years now, and I'm starting to
acclimate.
I love that word. Okay, so let's see. Hosting this show is still so exciting for me, I have to say. This is my second show. This is the Positively Healthy Show. It's every Saturday here on KCNR AM, and you can stream in on KCNR1460.com from your computer or your phone. And I want people to kind of remember that you're from your phone nowadays, right? We are so we start at 10 o'clock. Like we are today, and I welcome listeners to call in, and also, Rachel, remind them about our chat line, just for a sec.
We always have our chat room open. It's called the Chat Pack, and we are at KCNR1460.com. If you go to our website, there's a little banner that says Listen Live. It's white with red lettering. You click on that, and you can hear us talking right in your ear, and you can enjoy talking with me or with Dr. Maria and ask us questions and do whatever you need to do.
Yeah, I think that's important for everyone to know. So the Positively Healthy Show is made up of four doctors. I take the first Saturday of the month. Then it's Dr. Todd Royce, and then Dr. David Paris, and last but not least, Dr. Trudy Pratt. And what's so cool about this show is that we will all probably have a different spin on what Positively Healthy means to us, and we'll create the shows and talk about topics and that are near and dear to each of us. So for in particular, I will be highlighting some great athletes every month. I'll also be giving you my chiropractic and nutritional tips of the month, as well as supply you with great information from guests like today. So my plan is to stay positive, but I know often there are going to be some controversial topics as well. Hey, after all, it is an election year, right, Rachel?
It definitely is, and I think we have about 98 days left until the election.
Okay, that's exciting. That's very exciting. So I will especially want to get my digs on being a Californian against AB 2109, and you can look that up. So we have a great show for you today. Please stay tuned. And I wanted to get one shout-out first before we get started. So, first of all, how are you this morning? I didn't even ask you. I'm sorry.
I'm quite well, actually. I'm going to take off and go up to the big fundraiser up in Weed, California this afternoon. There's 120 bands playing this weekend up there.
Ooh, fun.
And they do this as a big fundraiser for downtown revitalization. I think it's a really great cause. I love small towns in Northern California.
Is that kid-friendly?
Absolutely,
nice.
Yes.
Family-friendly. That's awesome. Okay. So what I wanted to tell you and the listeners that if you're thinking about maybe starting a little exercise program, maybe running is going to be part of it, maybe walking is going to be part of your program. If you want to get together with some great people, maybe you need to build up from a short, from walking or to a short run, which is totally okay, right? We've got to start somewhere. There's a fun group here in Reading that just started their what they call the Sunset Through the Tree series. You can go to their website for more information at midnightracing.net. It's for all levels, and like I said, even if you're walking, you can contact John Luises at midnightracing.net, and that's N-I-T-E racing.net, midnightracing.net. So anyway, we have a few more seconds left before our first commercial, and please stay tuned because today we are talking about kids' safety in the summer and beyond. So come on back. This is KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Reading. the home of Free Fire Media.
The morning lads are just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
For the Black Bear Diner, here are founders Bob Papa Bear Manley and Bruce Sugar Bear Dean.
Wow, Sugar Bear. I guess people really are excited for Clobster Fest at Black Bear Diner.
Can't say I blame them, can you?
Nope, not when they can have delicious one-of-a-kind dishes like creamy macaroni and cheese topped with garlic butter sautéed lobster sensations. Or how about our lobster eggs benedict with fresh asparagus? We're going to serve that all day long.
Well, don't forget our lobster chop salad with bacon ranch dressing and the very best thing that's ever been placed on a tortilla, spicy lobster tacos.
Righto. And starting at just $9.99, I guess we're going to have a big crowd on our hands, Sugar. Well, better open the door. Give me the key.
I don't have the key. I thought you had it.
What? I don't have the key. You always are the one that...
Lobster Fest, a unique seafood experience for a limited time only at Black Bear Diner.
Good old-fashioned family food, Black Bear Diner. Black Bear Diner.
Hello, this is Mark with SuperClean. Did you know that this year's June Consumer Report magazine claims that cleaning and checking your gutters for leaks is the most important thing that you can do to reduce mold growth inside your home? We're the local experts for cleaning dangerous mold and fungus from your roof and gutters, bringing your roof back to a safe, super clean look. Visit us at supercleanroof.com or call us at 339-5882. That's 339-5882 for a free estimate and get super clean.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back, everyone, and it looks like we have our first guest on the line starting. I would like to give a few words to introduce him. Okay, our next guest is a PhD. He is a behavioral scientist by trade and founded an organization called ISR, and that's Infant Swimming Resource, over 40 years ago. So after witnessing this sort of very sad aftermath of a tragedy of a neighbor's losing a nine-month-old son, this nine-month-old baby had reached the water alone. This doctor endeavored to put an end to a preventable tragedy, which is childhood drowning. Please welcome founder of ISR, Dr. Harvey Barnett.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for coming on. I really, really appreciate you coming on to help us talk about kids' safety in the summer and beyond.
You know, it's such a tragedy as a function of the number of children under the age of four that drown every year in the United States, and it is such a hugely underreported phenomenon as a function of the medical definition of drowning, which is death within 24 hours. So actually the numbers, as grisly as they are grossly underreported because the children tend to survive in intensive care for a few days and then pass away. So it's a huge problem. It is the number one cause of accidental death, and anything I can do to reduce those numbers. I live for the day when not one more child drowns, and I've dedicated the last 46 years of my life to seeing to it that day is sooner rather than later.
I really appreciate that. I love what you've done. I've read a lot of the statistics that you have for National Drowning on your website. Can you tell us the history of ISR? What was the impetus? I mean, I know we just heard that very sad story, but what became your impetus, and why did you become so passionate about this?
It's a story that takes 46 years to tell.
Yeah. I know we only have so much time.
I have lived every moment of it, but I will, I'll give you a snapshot of that. I was an 18-year-old lifeguard. I was a professional surfer. I was getting ready to go off and swim at a Division I school on a scholarship. And, basically, if it had to do with the water, I did it. And in that context, to come home early from work one day and find an ambulance crew putting my infant neighbor in a body bag and pulling him up out of a drainage canal. You know, at 18, you don't see any gray in the world. It's all black and white. And I was just devastated. It was truly the absolute epitome of the psychological term traumatized. I did not know what to do. And I just looked up into the clouds and said, God, whatever it is that I have to do to never see this again, just tell me what it is and I'll do it. So that was kind of the start of it. No one back then was doing any credible work with infants and young children in the water. And my parents and neighbors and so forth, fairly research-oriented folks and, mm-hmm. and whatnot. And we searched everything in the literature to see if we could find someone in the world that was doing some work with drowning prevention from a swimming perspective or an aquatic survival perspective. And there just wasn't anything out there. So the next step was to develop something. And I lived 50 miles at that time south of Cape Kennedy.
Okay.
And they were innovating out there all the time, getting ready to put a man on the moon. And it was just a can-do kind of environment. And so I began working with 5 and 6 year olds. I wrote everything down. Every child, every time in the water with me, got at least 2 pages of notes. And I described everything I was doing. And the objective was really to get down to a point of working with infants and young children who would fall into the water fully clothed and do whatever they could on their own independently to survive. And it took 3 years of work to get down to work with 2-year-olds, but nobody could do what I needed them to do fully clothed. They could swim a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
With their head down, but at that time I thought that the way to get air was to lift the head up real quickly and get a breath and put it right back down and continue swimming towards safety. But you know, it just didn't work. As soon as they lift the head up, the body would go vertical and they'd sink, and they had to be extremely strong in order to be able to overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
Even that brief momentary change in the head orientation was too much. And then one day I discovered something kind of by accident. I think all discoveries are pretty much accidental.
Yeah.
I had a little girl who pushed away from the wall and lifted up her head and ended up going onto her back. And just for a second, I was pretty sure that I saw her float. And so I thought, okay, there it is. I think that's where I'm supposed to go with this. So I started working on just teaching children, younger and younger, to just float on their backs. And then I had to figure out a way to teach them how to get there. And then how to get back off of their back, because you can't get out of the water if you're on your back. You have to be able to face and hold on and grab onto something in order to pull yourself clear. And because infants and young children are so small, and but yet their chest and head and neck proportions are so large, they lose an incredible amount of heat energy. So the way to survive as a 1-year-old or a 2-year-old and in the water, particularly fully clothed, is to get out, because temperature has also got to be a concern factor here. And by about 1971, I had the swim portion down, roll back the rollover onto the back to float, and then flip back over to continue swimming. And then when I got to the University of Florida, I broke down into the nonverbal barrier and began working credibly with infants as young as 6 months of age.
And
prior to that, you can't do too much, because babies have a subcortical reflex that looks like swimming, but it doesn't have anything to do with survival.
And that's located?
You can't work with them until they're at least 6 months of age, because they've got to have an arm that opposes the opposite leg in order to make a rotation in the water.
Mm-hmm.
But that was all stuff that I was learning as I became a psychology major at the University of Florida, and then I got my bachelor's finished there, and my master's, and then my PhD as well.
And, Doc, we just have a few more seconds here in this bit here, but I wanted to talk a little bit about when we come back, what is the technique that you use? I mean, how are these instructors teaching them? I mean, you can kind of give us a little summary, because the thing that surprised me the most was that you are starting at 6 months old. These kids are learning at such a young age. And, you know, at that point, is the innate coming through, or are they doing what's natural for them, you know, in the water? And so I want to go ahead and talk about that when we come back. So,
good deal.
thank you again for coming on, and we'll be back here in just a second talking about very important things. This is KCNR 1460 AM. Come on back.
You got to make the morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Have you been thinking about installing a solar power system for your home or office? Maybe you looked into solar power a couple of years ago and thought it was way too expensive. Hi, I'm Dennis Patterson with West Coast Sustainables, and I have great news. The cost of a solar power system has dropped dramatically in the last 2 years, and the federal tax credits have increased to 30% of the cost of a system. Now is a great time to give solar a closer look. The news is full of warnings about the cost of energy going up soon, and the best way to keep your cost of energy cheap and stable is installing solar power. If you talk to us, we answer all of your questions, explain how solar works, and how it will affect your monthly bill. For a free in-home consultation, please give us a call, 524-9652, or email dennis@westcoastsustainables.com.
People are always telling us about how well they were treated at Crown Motors. Rebecca Rogers of Reading says, "The people at Crown were amazing. No pressure, lots of choices. I wouldn't go anywhere else to buy a car." Thanks, Rebecca. I'm going to keep reading these stories from time to time because I love to share the great experiences people have at Crown Motors. So you keep writing and I'll keep reading. So come see us or visit us online at crownmotorsreading.com.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community radio for the North State. The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Okay, welcome back, Free Fire listeners. We are talking about something very important today, and that is kid safety in the summer and beyond. We have founder of ISR, that's Infant Swimming Resource, on with us on the line, Dr. Harvey Barnett. And what I wanted to remind the listeners is that we're talking about so many statistics right now. If you wanted to be reminded about what we're talking about, because it's so much, please see the link that I have on healthwisedoc.com. I will also try and put it on my Facebook page as well, so you can be reminded of what all the important things that Dr. Harvey Barnett is talking about. And please go on with what you were talking about, Doc. Maybe, you know, how the instructors coach the young kids and some of the techniques that you've taught them.
The technique that we utilize is known as operant conditioning, and I unfortunately discovered that prior to learning about it in an academic sense. So the technique and the system that I developed was done independently and not knowing about the operant conditioning. And then when I got to the University of Florida and found out, oh my goodness, there's this whole branch of the behavioral sciences within psychology and learning theory called operant conditioning and operant learning, I was just dumbfounded, and that's when I became a psychology major and went through for the end of my degrees. But babies are sensory motor geniuses. They're sensory motor learners. They don't have language yet. So they operate in a world of here and now by something that is impinging on them, and they pick it up with their senses, you know, visual, touch, and hearing, and so forth, and then they respond to it. That response changes the environment somehow, and they respond to that, and that becomes a chain of behavior. So if you were teaching a baby to walk, you would teach them to stand and to balance and then to move one foot and then the other foot, and you would kind of move along with various stages in this. And we do much the same with teaching a baby to survive in the water. So let's take a six-month-old.
Okay.
Normal six-month-old with their various sensory acuities at that point, which are pretty good, and particularly touch, you teach them to float on their back first. Now, human beings are slightly positively buoyant, And in that context, placing a baby on the back and teaching them to relax in that position and just stay stable and keep breathing takes probably two or three, maybe four lessons. Then you teach them how to recover to that position from being with their face underwater 10 degrees or 15 or 20 degrees off of that back float to both directions, and then eventually you teach them how to go face down in the water. They make a 180-degree rotation, assume the back float position, hold it there, and continue to rest and breathe until help can come. Now, that's the lesson system for children 6 to 12 months of age, and again, they learn that skill fully clothed. Now, why would you teach a 6-month-old who can't walk how to handle themselves in the water? How are they going to get to the water? Well, this is kind of like insurance. You need it before you actually have to have it. And so if we teach the 6-month-old, because at that point in their life, they're sensory motor geniuses, and it's the best system for them to learn in terms of a sensory motor learning modality, then by the time they are walking, they already know the skill should they fall into the water accidentally. Retention for sensory motor skills is extremely, extremely high. You know, you've always heard that you never forget how to ride a bicycle, you never forget how to roller skate. We don't forget how to swim either, but when it's taught at the right time, When your sensory modalities and your learning style are in concert with the particular environment that you're learning it in, i.e. learning to roll back and float in the water because it's such a consistent environment, these children will have these aquatic survival skills for their entire lives. They will no more think about rolling over and float on their back than you and I think about walking in the morning when you swing your feet out of bed and put your feet on the floor. So if you think about the context of never being able to remember a time in your life when you're not aquatically skilled, that brings on a certain level of competence, and these children are much more relaxed in the water, and they can learn more in the water later and really learn the swimming strokes and so forth when they're more coordinated, say 4 or 5 years old, so that that can complement what they learned from a survival perspective first. But you got to learn the survival first. You have to be alive in order to learn how to swim later. And again, this is the number one cause of accidental death. So the instructors are taught in the same kind of technique and system, except they have to have the academic background. They have to have the behavioral theory. They have to have cognitive theory. They have to have anatomy and physiology backgrounds to some extent. They have to have hands-on experience with babies, so that they can learn how to teach the baby to swim, and then, teach the baby to float, then attain that back float position, then do that with a variety of encumbrances of clothing on, and then finally, with an older infant, teach a swimming component that goes into it as well, so that we have a swim, float, swim sequence. But primarily, the best age to teach a baby is very young, before 12 months, because their bodies and their cognitive structuring and all of the things that they learn best at that time are sensory motor learning skills. And within the optimum conditioning paradigm, that's the perfect time because it's going to have the highest retention, and we don't have to worry about other influences that have come in ahead of time that parents can sometimes put their children into that make it more difficult to teach them later, like flotation devices or swim vests and so forth.
Yeah. So that was my next question. So sometimes there's fear involved, right, with teaching children, or maybe it's the parents putting them on that, you know, putting the fear on them. How are parents responding to this technique?
Well, we've had 250,000 babies go through the program in the last 46 years. That means 500,000 parents. And there is obviously a certain amount of anxiety that is going to be present in any parent watching and working with basically a stranger, i.e. the ISR instructor, who is taking their baby underwater and teaching them anything, really. I mean, this is the first time that they've ever seen their child act independently, and this is before they've even taught the baby how to walk. So there are certain elements of anxiety that are generated there, but we tend to get a lot of that reduced by our parent education program. We have a booklet that's soon to be online, hopefully here very soon, as an e-book available on iPads and Kindle and Nook and so forth, called the Parent Resource Book.
Wow, that's
and
great.
That explains the program. It explains the system. It explains how the babies are learning and a lot of other features and factors that go into what is the collective experience of a comprehensive drowning prevention strategy known as Infant Swimming Resource. So parent education is a lot it has a lot to do with reduction of anxiety in the parent as their children or child or baby, in this case, is learning these skills.
And Doc, just before we have to go to another break here, we've got a few seconds left. What is your website for listeners?
www.infantswim.com, infantswim.com. And in the next couple weeks, we hope to have parent resource book available. And it's going to be very interesting because instead of just pictures like you would have in a normal book, in the e-version of this and in the iPads and so forth, they have very instructive and very well-positioned videos to explain the system and the technique, not so that the parent can be an instructor. Now, that can't be done. But so that they can learn about ISR and what the baby can be taught to do in the water to save themselves.
Okay. Thank you, Doc. And listeners, please stay tuned. We are going to come back with Dr. Harvey Barnett and finish up this very important topic. KCNR 1460 AM.
You got to make the morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Reading restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Reading to find our website.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Welcome back, Free Fire listeners. We are on with Dr. Harvey Barnett, the founder of ISR, and that's Infant Swimming Rescue. Their website is infantswim.com. For more information, you can go ahead and check them out. Dr. Harvey, I wanted to take the last bit here, a few minutes, to talk about something that is very important, and that's that what ends up happening is basically brain damage when maybe they're the children are saved too late, and that there's definitely a hardship on the families that includes economic hardship. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that is really the most devastating part of this for me, because for every drowning, there are at least four near drownings that have neurological sequelae. And the parent is living with a daily reminder of what could have been. They live with the daily reminder of, excuse me, if they could have just got those couple seconds back, if they could have remembered to close the gate, if they could have remembered to put the alarm back on, if they could have, you know, just, I could have, and they'll live with the rest of their lives with this incredible tragedy. The cost in California to maintain children under the age of four every year, just in California, is an astounding $425 million a year. For the United States, it's $3.4 billion a year. That's just children under four who follow the body of water, are revived. They get the heart started again. They get the lungs started again, but the brain is gone in a variety of levels. And in the context of that, we are losing children in the affluence of our backyard swimming pools. So it takes more responsibility than just knowing how to turn the pump on the pool and knowing how to vacuum it.
Sure.
You've got to also assume the safety perspectives for the population most at risk, and that's children under age four. So the near drownings are really the tragedy, because those are the things that we can actually look to and say, this was a result of lack of supervision. This was a result of a non-permanent fence. This was a result of a faulty gate. This was the result of no gate. This was the result of no fence. So in a deficient system, we can look to an individual that is never going to improve. Neurological damage very, very rarely has any kind of effective growth outcome to improve. They just decline more and more and more and more. So with the number of children that drown literally a year later as a function of the pneumonia or the heart disease, the heart not being able to work on the pneumonia or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Drowning is not only the silent epidemic and it's a silent killer, but it is pervasive. Sometimes it takes months and years, but they still succumbed because they fell into a body of water and didn't know how to go from face down to face up. And literally that is the difference between life and death. That's the distance between life and death. 6 inches, face down to face up. And you can teach a baby to do that. Our instructors are very good at that, and they can teach a baby to do that in 2 to 3 weeks. And so
for all of
that time in that circumstance, you can live with a child with brain damage, or you can live with a child who is competent in the water.
Mm-hmm. Doc, I really want to thank you so much for coming on today. We could talk about this for days, hours, weeks. You know, you have probably classes on this all the time. You do presentations everywhere. I want to remind people about your website so they can go back and get more information about this very important topic, and that's infantswim.com, infantswim.com. And Dr. Harvey Barnett, thank you so much for coming on today. We really appreciate it, and I hope you can come back and talk more sometime.
Anytime.
Thank you very much
for the opportunity. Watch your children constantly, segment your supervision, fence your pool, and understand that your baby is the one that is the closest to the problem, and they're the closest to the solution. Babies don't need flotation devices. They are flotation devices. You just have to teach them.
Thank you, Doc. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
And we'll talk with you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Next up, children and self-defense. We speak to an expert in his field of martial arts. And actually, he's on the line right now, right? Okay, cool. So he's the founder of KO Care, Child Assault and Abduction Resolution Efforts, child safety program that works with our local enforcement and community leaders to teach children how to be safe in a life-threatening situation. He's a fifth-degree master black belt with over 30 years' experience in martial arts. He is the owner and director of KO Kung Fu School in San Jose. Please welcome Master John Ozuna to the show, and thank you so much for hanging out with us today, Master Ozuna.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I mean, it's a great pleasure to spend some time and talk to you about child safety and everything that you want to talk about.
Yeah, we do have a minute left, and I just thought I would kind of lighten the show today a little bit. We've been talking about some heavy things here. So it might be interesting for the listeners to know that Master Ozuna and I go way back. And this is a show about kids, so I just wanted to let everyone know that Master Ozuna was teaching me and my siblings when I was 10, 11, and 12. And, ooh, do we really want to talk about that?
You know what? I think the only depressing part about it is that it goes so far back for me. You know, yeah, I mean, I've known you and your family for a good length of time. You know, I taught you and your twin when you were 10 years old and your younger sister. You know, and it's, you know, I know your father was always very passionate about martial arts in general, but, you know, obviously protecting his daughters. And
hey, a Marine is always a Marine, right?
Exactly. Yes. Up until today, in fact, I saw him today, and, you know, he attended one of our training sessions, and obviously, you know, he does great. But, you know, he's the one who actually reminded me. He goes, hey, you remember, you have a, you know, the radio show to do today. And Maria did remind me the other day. And
so he had to get that in there, right? Well, you know, I just want to say, seriously, what you do is important, and we are both in the business of hopefully saving some lives. And so let's talk more about KO Cares program when you come back after the break. This is KCNR 1460 AM.
Today, most beef and poultry products come from factory farms, from animals raised in confinement, fed antibiotics, and genetically modified organisms. Fortunately, there's a local source of humanely raised grass-fed beef, organic chickens, and pastured free-range eggs. The Martin family at the Lazy 69 Ranch near Round Mountain wants you to get back in touch with your food and your farmer. Look for Lazy 69 products at Orchard Nutrition, Holiday Market, Sunset Market, or online at lazy69ranch.com.
Legally Blonde, the musical, will be performed by the Shasta College Theater Department August 9th to the 25th on the Shasta College stage. Described as a non-stop sugar rush by critics, this Broadway and London hit will delight theater buffs. Elle Woods ventures to Harvard School of Law to win back her boyfriend and discovers that an honest, open spirit always wins the day. Tickets are available at the door or can be purchased in advance at shastacollege.edu/theater.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the Positively Healthy Show, and for those who are just tuning in, we're talking about kids' safety in the summer and beyond today. And on the line, we have Master John Ozuna, owner of KO Kung Fu School in San Jose, California. And Master Ozuna, you know, it's summer right now. School's just about to start. You know, kids walk to school. They come home. They're alone. They ride their bikes to school. And, you know, and sometimes they're alone, and that's just the way it is, and it's less adult supervision. And, you know, with both parents working, that's just the way it is sometimes. How do you want to start with that? You know?
You almost said it for me.
Yeah.
You know what? We have our program, like he had mentioned before. It's called KO Cares, and it is Child Assault Abduction Resolution Efforts. It's a program that we started, I want to say, about 15 years ago.
Okay.
And it was prompted and based on a very sad situation that we had in our community where a young lady was abducted. She was, you know, on her way to school. She was abducted. She was sexually assaulted. She did survive the situation, but her recovery is going to be a lifelong recovery from this point on psychologically, and obviously the injuries that she suffered. But we, rather than us saying, you know what, too bad, poor girl, that's so unfortunate, I really decided to do something about that. And what we did is we put a program in place that helped, that taught children how to be safe when they're out and about, whether they are going to school, from school, while they're in a public area like a mall. As we know, in these days and times, I think people are much more daring in their approach to approach children and assault them.
Oh, yeah, and risk-taking,
they,
yeah.
Where before you might have thought it was a lot more planned, now it's just out in public, and we see it in the news all the time. And the large part of the program is to address any situation. So whether it be public, whether it be private, whether it be them just, you know, going to the next aisle in a store, you know, away from their parents, and looking at whatever interests them, and being, you know, approached by somebody that can be dangerous. So that's the essence of it, and then it's just the teachings of that.
Being more aware of their surroundings, and, you know, I don't like to dwell on the bad, but letting them know what could happen, you know, right?
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you don't want to really so focus on, you know, the what could happen, mm-hmm. and the negativity of it. We want them to feel that they are equipped, and that's one of the most important things, that they, okay. that they're not always going to look over their shoulder, and they're not going to be put in a position where they're going to be afraid and or paranoid, but that they're just aware, and a little bit goes a long way. So it's not a situation where we teach them self-defense physical movements. We really work on the prevention of it. So just for them to be aware of their environment, if somebody is talking to them or approaching them, you know, that they do remove themselves from the situation or alert an adult and use their voice rather than resort to, okay, he's going to grab me, he's going to, you know, do this, and I have to resort to fighting this person. So we really do the prevention end before we ever get to the physical end.
So with KO Cares, your program, what do you actually do? Who is benefiting from that program? Do you go to schools? How do you do your presentations?
You know, we try to touch into any organization that will have us. So, okay. You know, any school assembly, any, you know, any district, children's programs, you know, whether it be, you know, a kind of a Boy Scout, Cub Scout, Daisies, Girl Scouts, just really anybody that will actually listen. We will have them at the school. We'll notify the public and invite them to come to the school. This is absolutely non-profit, so we do not, by any stretch of the imagination, charge for anything like this. It's just education. You know, it's just, you know, all the years, again, I've been doing this for over 30 years, all the years that I've been doing this, you definitely have to really give back to the community, and this is one way of doing it. And what we do is, it's just, you know, in short, it's kind of that verbal education, but then we do a lot of hands-on, you know, and we do have...
Okay.
What we call a three-step program, where they take one step back and they say, you know, if they're being approached by a stranger, we say, you know, I don't know you. You know, they take an additional step back and you get away from me. And then the third step back and they run, you know, and they yell for help. Now, back in my generation,
mm-hmm.
I think people would remember this, they would encourage you not to say help, but they would encourage you to yell fire, because they would say that people would be more able to help somebody if there was a situation that was like a fire, as opposed to getting involved as somebody, you know, yelling for help. But now times have changed again.
Mm-hmm.
People are definitely a lot more proactive in assisting and helping. So if you yell help and you scream and people don't hear that word, especially in, you know, high volume anymore, people will respond, they will react, and they will help. You know, and in this day and age of technology, you know, it's so much easier to help now with, you know, with a quick 911 call on the cell phone. So it really works out well from every perspective.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you guys are rarely hands-on in the KO Cares program. You guys do demonstrations for the kids, and they get to be involved and kind of do something with you, do a demonstration with you?
Yeah, exactly. You know, the
physical?
Way we approach this is, we teach them the wrong way, and then we teach them the right way. So we'll give them a physical example, you know, and we have several of our students that actually act out a scenario. And we'll say, okay, here's a given scenario. They're waiting for their parents home after school, you know, and they're waiting at school, waiting for the parents to pick them up. And, you know, time is going by, and somebody offers them a ride and says, hey, you know, I got these, you know, really cute puppies. Do you like puppies?
Oh,
why don't you come
yeah.
with me and I'll show you my puppy. I mean, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll show them the wrong way in that given scenario where they agree to go, and they give them information as far as their name. They give them information as far as where they live. And you know, and what we do with the kids, you know, we just have them involved, and we just kind of say, boo, that's not the right way of doing it. You know, and then we play out the correct way. And you know, as far as not giving any information, you know, really creating a distance between, you know, that child and the potential abductor. And then, you know, and then we cheer, yay, okay, that's the right way of doing it. And we have them play out both scenarios.
Good.
That way they know a definitive way to do it and a very definitive way how not to do it.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's rewarding for them. So we've got just a few seconds left. When we come back, I would like you to talk about what does martial arts teach children. Come on back. This is KCNR, 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, home of Free Fire Media.
You got to make the morning last, just kicking down the cobble.
What do you look for in a building contractor? Experience and quality, and someone who's reliable? Dennis Janeway hits the mark. Dennis has got more than 30 years' experience doing all types of construction. So whether the job is big or small, new home construction or a kitchen or bathroom remodel, call Dennis Janeway today at 604-6702. For experience, quality, and reliability, call Dennis Janeway Construction, 604-6702.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Reading restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Reading to find our website.
Three little words that will change your life forever. You have cancer. You also have choices. At Pace Cancer Center, we believe that the battle against cancer can be fought with a positive attitude, care, and excellent medicine. Dr. Pramila Dhanuka is a board-certified oncologist, and she is offering the highest level of care for cancer patients for over 10 years. At Pace, you'll discover why hundreds of local cancer survivors have chosen Pace Cancer Center for treatment. To learn more about your choices available at Pace Cancer Center, call 247-1425.
Hey, it's Rachel Lane with KCNR 1460 AM, inviting you to join us Sundays at 4 for The Kitchen Sink. It's a show about everything and the kitchen sink. We'll be discussing everything from parenting to science, arts, culture, music, and we'll be highlighting some very important community members right here Sundays at 4 o'clock. Please join us every Sunday, 4 to 5, right here on 1460 AM and KCNR1460.com. It's The Kitchen Sink with me, Rachel Lane, on Free Fire Radio.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com. The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Welcome back. This is the Positively Healthy Show. And before we get back on with Master John Ozuna, I wanted to highlight a few athletes that we've got. Amazing athletes in the area. Do you guys remember Lois Charlton from last month? I don't know if you remember, but she was on and we were talking about CrossFit. She placed third. She's from Reading here. She placed third in the overall in the Reebok CrossFit Games last month. And I just want to congratulate her. She was in the Master 60 Plus division and she just can prove to everybody that having fitness in your life at any age is possible. And of course, we have to give a shout out to our U.S. Olympic team, right, Rachel? I mean, they're doing amazing right now, and yep, I just can't single out anyone. They're all doing so great. So I just wanted to go ahead and mention that.
Michael Phelps, I mean, he's broken every record known to man, so I just have to throw that out there.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Also, little shout out for my cute baby cousin who's not so little anymore. He played for LA Galaxy from 2001 to 2003. They won the MLS championship in 2002, and now he's being inducted into the Galaxy Wall of Legends for winning that Major League Soccer Cup championship in 2002. So just want to put a shout out for him and say congratulations. And also, you can go ahead and check out their soccer store at All Star Soccer in Sunnyvale, California. Okay, back with Master John Ozuna. We're talking about some important things here. What does, Master Ozuna, what does martial arts and self-defense teach children?
You know, whenever you call me Master Ozuna, you make me feel
I know.
Old. You really do.
It's funny, huh? But it's out of respect, you know? It's like I look at me. I'm not 11 or 10 or anymore, but I'm still coming to you for your expertise. So
that's, I really appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's how I
you
feel
know,
about
as far as, I mean, the benefits it has and what it does for children, I mean, it's just really, it really goes on and on, and there's just an immense amount of benefits to this. You know, a large population of our students that we have, our children's students, they are either ADD, ADHD, Asperger's, or autism diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have a child here that not only has the interest of martial arts, but they're challenged with the obstacle of, you know, concentration and all the different characteristics of each one of those conditions. So, you know, in terms of what it can teach somebody, I mean, just the ability to organize thought, the ability to really organize themselves so that they can execute things in a systematic way that achieves a really good goal at the end. The physical end is obvious because you're really building a foundation that, just like CrossFitting, you're working all of your core muscle groups.
Oh, yeah, right, left brain. I mean, it all gets practice, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, just you have the physical characteristics of it. You have the, you know, the mental characteristics and challenges of it. But just the sense of accomplishment because they, you know, each student has a set amount of material. You know, they're given the guidance. They're given the motivation. But they take that information themselves, and they work at it, and they go through the practicing process and the execution and failure as well. I mean, and that's an important thing, that it's okay to fail and do what they need to do to adjust and re-execute so that they can have a victory there. And
mm-hmm.
and when they have that, the reaction, the response, and the feelings is invaluable. And that prepares them for everything they're going to do the rest of their life.
Okay, and that's what I'm seeing is, like, obviously the common theme today is that, you know, with Dr. Harvey Barnett and water safety and with you, Master Azuna, is, you know, we're hoping to save lives here. We're hoping to, you know, if there's just one or two people that are listening, you know, maybe they do something, you know, maybe they're thinking about fitness, but the benefit of martial arts or like your KO program, not only do they get the benefit of exercise, but they're also learning something about self-defense and hopefully saving themselves. Can I give a shout out to you, Master Azuna? I got to say something.
Yeah, absolutely, please.
You are currently starring in a new action 3D film called Dragon to be released in the near future. We don't know yet when it's going to be, but I got to say, that's cool. I bet the kids love it, right?
You know, it's funny. You know, being in martial arts, for whatever reason, martial arts and the film industry have a connection.
Yeah.
And obviously through all the action film stars and whatnot, and now you have a lot of very, very popular, well-known actors and actresses that also are involved in martial arts in one way or the other, and they do a lot of their stunt scenes. You know, I was actually approached by a producer who's had the script for quite some time, and for whatever reason, he felt that I fit his character, and he really felt that that I could fulfill, you know, the image and the impression that he had, you know, of his character to bring this to life. And right now, it's definitely in pre-production. We're going to, you know, hopefully go into production here pretty soon. But it is actually really exciting because it's going to be taking a lot of the Bay Area talent, and it's going to be filmed, I'm going to say 80 to 90% of it's going to be filmed in San Francisco.
Yay,
so
local.
Really,
that's cool.
Highlight the Bay Area and really highlight, you know, and I think there might be a scene where we're going to blow up the Trans-American building.
Whoa. Craziness.
It won't really happen, but... But yeah, it's exciting. It really is, and it's just an extension from, you know, what I do.
Sure.
And it is a lot of fun.
Well, I really want to thank you for coming on board today and hanging out with us. If you could just please go ahead and shout out your website so people can get more information about the KO Care Program.
Yeah, it's just very simply, it's kokungfu.com. It'll also work as kokarate.com. And with that, you know, there's a lot of information in regards to the KO Cares program, how somebody can be involved, or just get a little bit more educated in just, you know, a healthier lifestyle. Like you had mentioned, you know, just, you know, save your life in terms of, it can really save your life in much more ways than the obvious, you know, the physical encounter.
Mm-hmm.
This really stems from the inside out, and I know, you know, with you know, Maria, with yourself and what you've committed to your life to, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It affects you in every possible way.
Yeah.
So yeah, KOKungFu.com. And
thank you so much.
Just give me a call.
I really appreciate it. Thank you for coming on. And this is KCNR 1460 AM. Thank you so much for listening today, and I will see you next month.
Radio, I'm Rich Johnson. One of the most damaging of the Oklahoma wildfires is now under control, but not before doing huge damage to homes near the town of Luther. Officials say at least 56 homes and other buildings have been damaged by that fire, which they believe was set by an arsonist in a nearby Noble, Oklahoma.
I'm assuming it's probably gone. This is the way the wind was blowing. It was blowing pretty hard.
Recent U.S. Army retiree Matthew Scott's in a shelter waiting for final word as to whether his home is still standing. Tropical storm Ernesto stirring up the Caribbean with a path that could take it into the Gulf of Mexico next week. Behind Ernesto is a system that could one day be called Florence. But Eric Blake at the National Hurricane Center in Miami says that storm is out there.
Long ways away, you know, several thousand miles away from the United States, and you know, we have a long time to watch it.
Another day of heavy violence in Syria's largest city as government forces try to break the insurgents' hold on Aleppo.
The MiG fighter jet has been...